In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The open tomb, the empty bench, the unoccupied grave cloths, the folded cloth. These are all negative evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. They don't necessarily prove that Jesus rose from the dead. They merely prove that Jesus' body was not in the grave. One can assume that Jesus rose, given the negative evidence, but there needs to be more to make such an assumption. So you can add all those times that Jesus predicted his passion. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Jesus suffered many things. Jesus was rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes. Jesus was killed. Furthermore, he was buried in this tomb, and a large stone was rolled in front of it. Jesus said he would rise again. But I guess that would only qualify as circumstantial evidence. Early on the first day of the week, the women made their way to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away and an angel sitting in there telling them that Jesus had risen, just as he said. Were they witnesses? The angel told the women to tell the disciples and Peter that Jesus was going before them into Galilee. At first, the women went away in fear. For some reason, the evidence just didn't add up for them. Even though Jesus had said all of this would happen, even though they found an empty tomb, and even though an angel told them that Jesus had risen, they just didn't get it. Eventually, the women find Peter and John and tell them. These two ran to the tomb to see for themselves. They looked in, they go in, and they saw the negative evidence. John wrote that when he went in and saw, he finally believed. But what exactly did he believe? For he also wrote, "For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead." Once again, even though Jesus had said all this would happen, even though they found an empty tomb, and even though the women relayed the angel's message, as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples were in the upper room, and the doors were locked. They were afraid for their lives, in fear of the Jews, that they would storm down their doors and accuse them of grave robbery. Another conclusion that could be drawn from all that negative evidence. But they knew that they hadn't done that. Still, they were afraid that Jesus wasn't really raised from the dead. And into this room, Jesus came to them, despite the locked doors. He spoke to them, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his side. Finally, they received some positive evidence. Jesus was standing among them, flesh and blood. He breathed on them. Nice, deep breath. Something only a real person would do. Jesus has risen, just as he said. A week later, he did the same thing. This time, Thomas was with them. He had remarked that he would not believe unless he had some real, tangible, positive evidence, just like the other 10 had. "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side." I like to imagine a stunned Thomas as Jesus was talking to him. The doubter defiantly stated that he would not believe. Then Jesus appeared to him in all of his resurrected glory. Thomas was frozen. And Jesus told him to put his finger into the hole in his hand, then to put his hand into his side. In his stunned state, Thomas couldn't react. So Jesus reached out to Thomas as he said that, grabs his hand, and thrusts it into his side. Jesus doesn't bid Thomas to touch him, but he does the work for him. Something that is perhaps expressed in that Caravaggio back there. This is an image which fits nicely with the Lutheran doctrine of grace alone. But it's purely speculation on my part, and perhaps on Caravaggio's as well. Nevertheless, with grace-only filled words, Jesus bids Thomas, "Do not disbelieve, but believe." My Lord and my God. The women and the disciples had seen the negative evidence. They rejoiced to see the positive evidence. Hallelujah! Jesus is risen just as he said. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. The resurrected Jesus appeared to many more who believed, more and more witnesses of the positive evidence. There were the disciples along the road to Emmaus. He appeared to 7 of the disciples as they fished along the Sea of Tiberias. He appeared to Saul on the Damascus Road. He even appeared to over 500 disciples at once. These were all granted positive evidence of Jesus' resurrection. These all spoke to others and declared in one way or another, "We have seen the Lord," and their testimony is recorded for your benefit. One witness account could be lying. 2 or 3 could be a conspiracy, even though that's what was legally required to establish a fact in dispute. You have the account of over 500 witnesses right there in the seats with you. What you don't have is the positive evidence of the Lord's resurrection. The tomb still exists, and it is still empty. So you may have the negative evidence, but after all this time, such evidence cannot be trusted. Except that you also have the words of Jesus himself, that he had to suffer, die, and rise again. The tomb is empty because Jesus rose on the 3rd day. However, you also have the eyewitness accounts of Jesus' appearance to the disciples, and they declare to you that they have seen the Lord. This is how you are blessed to believe who have not seen, as Jesus told Thomas. But you do have evidence, though it is unseen. Jesus appears before you, even today, to do just as he had done that evening in the 1st day of the week, and on the night the week after. He comes to you here and gives himself to you. He breathes on you and gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you his own body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. And all of this he does for your benefit, that you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. These he earned for you by his life of perfect obedience, both as he kept the law perfectly in every single precept, but also as he fulfilled for you in his sacrificial death on the cross in your place. He rose from the grave, as he said, to seal these to you, that you would have victory over death and your grave. You have his word on it. You have heard the evidence, both positive and negative, through the eyewitness accounts. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. In the meantime, he gives you his word and his sacraments. It is the word that declares to you that when the word of God is combined with water, it is for you a life-giving flood full of grace and a washing of regeneration in which you have been given the Holy Spirit. In holy baptism, you have been washed, made clean and pure, and claimed as a son of God, co-heir with the one who has given his life for you on the cross and rose again. In holy baptism, you have died and were buried with Christ, that on the 3rd day, that on the last day, you would rise in a resurrection like his. You have his word on it. It is the word that declares to you that when the word of God is spoken over you by one placed in your midst by God, he speaks in the stead and by the command of Jesus. In his stead, this man declares to you that you are either forgiven or that your sin is bound to you. And in both cases, it is as valid and certain as if Christ, your dear Lord, dealt with you himself. This man is under orders to forgive the sins of the penitent and not forgive those who see no need nor have any desire for forgiveness. He does not forgive or bind on a whim. This man's forgiveness is God's forgiveness, won for you on the tree of the cross and apprehended for you by the faith and Holy Spirit that you have been given in holy baptism. You have his word on it. It is the word that declares to you that when the word of God is spoken over some bread and wine, they are for you the very body and blood of Christ given and shed for you on the tree of the cross. You take and eat and drink the very wounds of Jesus, which he showed to the disciples and into which he shoved the hand of Thomas. In them you receive forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have his word on it. Jesus reaches out to you with his word, entrusted to men to proclaim and speak into your ears. He reaches out to you and grabs you and places you into himself. He gives you himself in word and sacrament, placing himself in you. You have been gathered here by the gift of the Holy Spirit, receiving him. You have his word on it. Jesus Christ has died, but he is risen and ascended for you. You have his word on it. Though you do not see as Thomas and the others saw, you believe because the word of God declares to you the truth which was verified by the eyewitness accounts. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. And you are forgiven for all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.